You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast, counting down movies, music, TV, and pop culture, one top five at a time. And now, here are the Two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
What's up, people?
Hey!
Welcome in! Welcome into Two Peas
on the podcast.
Andy, I didn't even do a sound check.
You didn't? Are you okay?
Can you guys hear us?
Yes.
Gerald's here.
Andy is next to Gerald. I was just telling Gerald how good he looks.
You're lying to people. You're not next to me. You're across from me.
Telling him how good he looks, yes. And he said to hold on and say that on the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want you to tell everyone.
Do you need daily validation? Do you want me to call you every morning and tell you how good you look?
Please, if you don't mind. You would be able to because you couldn't see me.
I could lie.
Don't FaceTime me when you do it.
Authenticity.
Don't FaceTime me when you do it. I don't know if this is working. I feel like people can hear us.
Okay.
I see waves.
I can hear you.
We can hear each other.
So I hear you even when you're not
around. Listen.
You're like my conscience.
So listen. Two Peas. All right. And we're back together. Okay. The actual Two Peas.
Do you want to hold hands for me?
We're closer to that.
Your hands are sweaty.
Now listen. What
are you doing? Working out?
I get very excited when you come over. Some things happen before you show up. Now listen. Let's get back to tracking. So, we've been doing bonus episodes because you're a busy man, brother.
Dude, I'm busy.
You're like the second hand of God.
I think
the word you're looking for
is important.
You are important. Absolutely. But you're like ministering the world. You're bringing people to spirituality, brother.
Thanks, brother.
You're doing that one day at a time. You're doing these talks. Spiritual centers and coffee shops and who knows? I think I saw you in a back alleyway in downtown Raleigh the other night. I don't know. You're talking to all kinds of people. You're everywhere.
Thank you.
You're like the Holy Spirit, brother. You're all over the place.
Oh,
now,
thanks.
That's nice. But because of that.
Nice of you.
Because of that, you're not able to get together with me and talk about top five favorite things. It's weird.
And I have a lot of favorite things.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Sorry. I apologize.
It's weird where your priorities fall.
I miss you, though. I miss you when I'm not here. You look good.
I miss you.
You look good.
Here we are. Yeah. And we've been doing bonus episodes, but we are back together for our December edition. What are we talking about today, Andy?
Today, we are talking about our favorite Elton John songs.
Ding, 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 ding. Yes. Tell him what he's won, Johnny. That is correct. We are doing our top five Elton John songs.
But before we begin, I have to tell you a very, very short story about Elton John.
Is this going to have something to do with your one cool thing? Because why don't you
hold it? No, this is not my one cool thing.
Can you hold the story?
This is pertinent to the top five. Tell a funny story. I was not an Elton John fan growing up.
Really?
I wasn't even an Elton John fan until like my early 20s because I was in Chicago and a friend of mine comes up to me. I see him on the street walking down Chicago. He said, guess what, friend? He says, tonight, I have front row tickets to Elton John and Billy Joel because I'm best friends.
Yeah.
One of my old friends is the head camera lady.
Yeah.
Do you want to come? I was like, of course I want to come.
Yeah.
So I went there. You know, Billy Joel, Elton John. Yeah, I didn't really listen to that much.
Maybe.
But the concert changed my life. Billy Joel was good. He was good.
Elton
John blew me away. I'm leaning on the stage. Like, I'm next to the stage.
That's
like,
crazy.
Right there. And every time he plays, light just shoots from him.
Yeah.
Like, he is an amazing presence. And since then, huge fan.
So
that's my story.
I've always been a fan. And irony, the flip side of my story is I've never seen him live.
Oh,
never. He's on his farewell tour right now.
Right now.
Which is what made us think to do the episode, or what made me to think to pitch you to do the episode. He's on a farewell tour that's lasting about 9 years. So I'm hoping I get to see him at some point before I die. Yeah. I don't know. He's coming around here, I think, next month, actually.
Really?
To PNC. But
dude, that's exciting.
I'd love to see him, man. I mean, he's always been one of my favorite artists. And I'll talk a little bit about it when we get to our top five. But
absolutely.
One song of his in particular is just probably my top three songs of all time. Period.
Really? Not just of Elton?
Yeah, just period.
And of course, he's one of those guys that transcends genres, like the Michael Jacksons of the world, that it's hard to say, what is he? Is he rock and roll? Is he pop music? Like, he's Elton John. He has his own genre.
He's a man, dude. So we talked about his farewell tour. Yes. There's also a music biopic coming out in, I want to say, May.
Really?
Called Rocket Man.
Dude!
And it's supposed to be like a fantastical story, but also based on his life.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So that's going to be good. You know, they just did Bohemian Rhapsody.
Love Bohemian Rhapsody.
I did too, man.
I cried a lot in that movie.
Now listen, this is an Elton.
I cry every day, but I cried a lot.
This is an Elton John episode. But what's with the hate on that movie?
People are hating? I didn't know that. See, I don't pay attention to people, but why are they hating?
I don't know. They're saying the pacing's off, and it wasn't true to Freddie Mercury, and I don't know. I loved it.
But the great thing about it, I'm not going to spoil too much for you people out there who haven't seen it yet, but I mean, it's really about the transformation of a man. It's about Freddie Mercury primarily, mm-hmm. and about him coming to understand and love himself.
Right.
So it's really about his journey of self-acceptance, which just blows me away.
I feel that.
And the guy who played Freddie Mercury, you know his name?
Yeah, I do. I do know his name. I just forgot. Yes. Rami Malek.
He did a great job. Great job.
So as we're sitting
these
here.
These critics here give thumbs up.
I loved it, man.
Thumbs up.
As we're sitting here, Rami Malek just got nominated for the Golden Globe for that.
Right now.
Yep. This morning, yeah.
Wonderful.
Literally just saw that.
I think he
did. All right.
He did
so
a great
before
job.
We get into our top okay. five, what we do is we do our one cool thing at the beginning of the episode. We wasted way too much time. I got to edit 6 of this minutes of this
out.
Oh, my
gosh. I
people don't care
cool
about
thing.
Us. Okay. So since the last time we recorded, which was pre-Thanksgiving.
Okay.
What's do you want to go first? You want to go first?
No, you go first cool because as you're going, I'm not going to listen to you. Instead, I'm going to think about what my one cool thing is.
What else is new?
I don't think I have a one.
You're
cool
like
thing.
All the other people that are tuned in. Okay, so my one cool thing is my daughter, who I've talked about on the show numerous times. She's 17 years old. She's a senior in high school. She just, I'll say just, but it was a couple weeks ago. She is doing these film production classes. She wants to go into film. She wants
that's wonderful.
She wants to do film editing primarily, but she wants to be involved in film. She wants to go to school of the arts and just wants to be in movies and film, kind of behind the scenes in film.
Ooh, that's
so neat. As a project, she had to come up with, and the teacher specifically gave the class 72 hours. So they had 72 hours to come up with a topic, write a script for it, and film a short movie. It had to be less than 5 minutes.
72 hours.
And she did the whole thing herself, brother. She
Dude,
took it by the
reins.
But guess what genre she chose?
Tell me.
Horror.
Of course she did.
So she
made like a 5 minute horror film?
She did, yes.
Dude.
So my daughter made
a 5 minute. Was it just like a film
minute,
of you like getting ready in the morning?
It was just like a still image of me with ominous music playing over
That's
it.
Lovely.
But no, she did a horror short. It was about 5 minutes long and it was good. It was kind of a psychological thriller kind of horror.
Okay.
Not a lot of dialogue in it, which I like in short movies. It kind of like makes the audience think and use their imagination. But it was good, man. She did good. The script
Dude,
was amazing.
Awesome.
She emailed it to me and I could tell you it's got a little religious kind of spiritual undertone to it.
Okay.
A little kind of exorcist vibe, kind of
like
cult
it.
Vibe.
I like it.
But it was good. But you know, I love her and I'm very proud of her. And obviously if she goes on to do anything in the world of movies or what would be considered quote Hollywood would be a dream for me because I'm obviously deep into that stuff. So
You're deep, bro.
If her and my son are in movies or doing anything with movies, I'm living a dream, brother. Take
man.
Me out there and give
and
me on a red
that,
carpet. You know
the fact
I mean?
That she's not just doing this because to you know get your approval or whatever.
No,
you
no,
love
of course
horror.
Not.
She
yeah.
actually loves something you love.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's amazing.
That's
I'm
crazy.
Trying to make my children love things that I love.
It's not working.
It doesn't work.
It's not working.
It doesn't work.
No, yeah. You're right, though. She just kind of adopted that over time. And I couldn't wait. Same thing with my son. You know, I can't wait till he's like 12 or 13
so
I can start kind of showing him some of this
that is
stuff
cool,
that's
man.
PG-13 and
that
beyond.
That is cool.
But anyway, that's my one cool thing, brother. I'm very proud of her. What's your one cool thing?
I got a cool thing here. Just kind of popped into my head. And this is not like an out of the ordinary kind of craziness thing happening. But last weekend, we had a movie night with my children, my wife, her sister and husband and their children. We all watched the movie Elf together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I watched the movie Elf right when it came out. Me, myself, my wife and her sister and her husband all watched it together at Universal City in LA. And every year we watch it. It's one of our favorite movies. But this is the first year all of our kids are finally old enough to appreciate the humor.
Yeah.
So something that my wife and I and her sister and husband have always shared together, we got to share that with all of our children.
That's awesome.
So kind of watching them, you know, we're of course saying all the lines because we all love watching every year.
Great.
But having them now appreciate, now they're saying the lines. Like, hey, buddy, hope you find your dad. just
right.
I mean, witnessing those traditions, it's like a Christmas tradition, witnessing those
did
and
you,
sharing them with your children.
Did you make the pancakes with them with the candy?
Yeah, exactly.
All that on it that morning.
Can you pass some maple syrup, please?
No, Elf's great. It's a classic. Will
so just sharing that with them, you know,
that's
the evolving Christmas traditions, watching them grow into things that you love, kind
love
of like
it.
Your daughter. It's just wonderful.
I love it. We
that's
talked
cool.
about that
that's
with our
cool
Halloween
thing.
Movies, too.
Yeah.
Being able to share that with your kids.
Exactly. Like finally, they get to that age where, okay, this year, I want you to see this.
All right, man.
Cool.
We're discussing Elton John today. One of my favorite artists. I'm pumped, man. You ready to do it?
I'm ready.
Let's do our top five Elton John.
Who goes first?
Five, four, three, 3, 2, 1.
And here we go.
Okay, why don't you? Okay, yeah, okay. I'm gonna jot yours down here, because, guys, once again, newsflash: Andy didn't bring anything with him. I've got 6 pages of notes here, and he's got nothing. But yeah. Andy, why don't you go first, man? What's your number five?
This is my number five song. Now, it's an interesting story behind this song, because my wife and I, before we were married, leading up, I guess, the year before we got married, we were a betrothed couple. We fell in love with this movie called Moulin Rouge. It became one of our favorite movies. We were just enamored with it. Mm-hmm. And in that movie, my good friend, Ewan McGregor, sings this song. Mm-hmm. It's called Your Song. Yep. And it's a song by Elton John. At the time, I'm not an Elton John fan, had never heard it. Ewan McGregor's version of Your Song was so powerful, my wife and I danced to that version at our first dance at our wedding.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Now,
so my number five song is Your Song by Elton John.
Now, that's a good
although
one.
I still like the Ewan McGregor version better.
No, that's funny, because I knew it's on my honorable mentions.
Okay.
Your Song's on my honorable mentions.
Oh, man.
It's a great song. It's one of his early tunes from the early
70s. Very early, yeah.
But that's funny, because you had told me on a past episode that we've done that was your first dance song, but I had no idea it was Ewan McGregor.
No, it wasn't Elton. I didn't hear Elton's version until later.
So I knew you were going to pick it, because
so
it was your wedding song.
Yeah, I got to.
But that's great. And we're going to do, we do the suggestion box at the end. Somebody actually mentioned the Ewan McGregor version, so we'll talk about that at the end as well.
The reason it's only number five is because I still actually like the Ewan McGregor version better because of that history.
Which is interesting.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money, but boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house where we both could live. If I was a sculptor, but then again, no, or a man who makes potions in a traveling show. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. My gift is my song, and this one's for you. You can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is while you're in the world.
But still, it has to be my number five because, I mean, the lyrics are wonderful. Elton John's version, of course, classic, wonderful. Sure. But that's my number five song, Your Song, Elton John.
I've got it here, 1970, Your Song.
Man, it's a good song.
Early Elton John. Yeah. And it's a love song, right? It's a love song.
It's a love song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sat on the Roof, kicked off the mob.
Yeah, it's a good tune, man. So that's on my honorable mentions. Yeah, that's your number five. All right, my number five maybe, I don't know, because you said you weren't like a super fan. So I don't, well, at least not until recently.
Okay.
So I don't know if maybe you've heard of this one.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It was not released as what would be considered a single.
Oh, goodness. Uh-oh,
so it's from the Honky Chateau album, which is one of his best albums, in my opinion.
Honky Chateau.
It was released in 1972.
Okay.
The song is called Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters.
Now I know Spanish Harlem are not just pretty words to say. I thought I knew, but now I know that rose trees never grow York City. Until you've seen this trash can dream come true, you stand at the edge while people run you through. And I thank the Lord there's people out there like you. I thank the Lord there's people out there like you. While Mona Lisa's sons of bankers, sons of lawyers, turn around and say good morning to the night. For unless they see the sky, but they can't, and that is why. They know not if it's dark outside or light.
Oh, I've never heard that song.
Great song. You'll hear a little bit on the episode today, absolutely. Obviously. But it's a song. It's a love song to New York.
Oh,
to New York
wonderful.
City.
Wonderful.
The Troubadour is where Elton kind of got a start in the
US. And he talks about that with his farewell tour. He says, one of the reasons I want to end in America, because America gave me my start.
Yeah, yeah.
In
New York City, New York really embraced
he
him.
He might be ending in New York, maybe.
And he was, you know, that over-the-top performer at the time. You know, now it's kind of tame. But, you know, in the early 70s, I mean, come on, man. He's like, you know, kind of the Elvis-type character where the glitter costumes and just over-the-top, you know.
At the Billy Joel concert, he did change like 8 times.
Did he? Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. I wonder if he still does. He probably has. That's part of his.
More sparkling sweatsuits now that he's older.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's his thing, though. One of his things. But yeah, Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters is a really cool kind of juxtaposition between, because those are two images that everybody knows, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows the Mona Lisa. Everybody knows the character of the Mad Hatter.
Of course.
One is very serene and beautiful.
Mona Lisa, I mean, very,
and
very
one is serene. Very chaotic and, you know, and he uses those two juxtaposition characters in pop culture to formulate a story about New York City.
Oh, that's
and
wonderful.
It really is just talking about all the good things in the city and then all the things
the
that
crazy
kind
bit.
Of, you yeah, know,
exactly.
unsafe. Avery. And actually, I had read when I was researching the tune that the song was written by Bernie Taupin, who's a frequent collaborator.
Yeah, a lot of their big hits.
Yeah. And a lot of these songs will be written by him and Bernie. But Bernie wrote that because of a shooting that happened outside of the hotel he was staying in New York City, and that's what sparked the lyrics of the tune. So Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters. It was also featured in Almost Famous, which is a movie I love.
Really? I love that movie. When is it?
It plays when they come out of the restaurant. It's like in the background.
Okay.
It's not like featured.
Okay.
But it's playing when the young man comes out of the restaurant
but
and goes
about
to find Penny Lane.
Some of the best things in the world are Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters. They always have those two sides to
it. Yeah.
And I mean, of course, think about progress and what New York is. I mean, it's the melting pot, so many different cultures. You're going to have chaos, but out of that chaos, you're going to have all this beauty as well.
Sure.
You have to have both. So, man.
So it's a cool. I mean, it's a cool.
Dude, you're killing it already.
It's
five.
A cool thing you did, man. And a shout out to Emily from the story behind, because this is one of her favorite songs.
Yeah.
And she named it. Her and I went on Playlist, which is another podcast, and we discussed our favorite. We only got to pick two though, but we discussed our favorite Elton songs, and this was one of hers.
Dude,
and I
wonderful.
Was like, oh, you're right. That song is fucking awesome.
You're right.
You know, I did that about.
And that's
six
the cool
months.
Thing about an artist like Elton John is when you mention that, you're like, oh yeah. I do love that.
And
song.
I did that about 6 months ago, or so with her, so I kind of got reintroduced to it a little bit. But I do. I've always loved that song. So that's my number five, and that swings us over to you, brother. What's your number four?
This is my number four. Now, this is just a feel-good song. I think, I don't know if it came about on a comeback of his or, you know, because he's gone through many transitions in his life, but it's called I'm Still Standing. And it's just a classic rock tune about I'm still here, you know, I'm after all these years. You know, I'm a true survivor, so it just has a great feel to it. Every time I hear it, it pumps me up, but it's not one of those pump-up songs that are very thin.
Right.
The lyrical content is still very good. The music is still quality. It lasts.
Right.
So I'm Still Standing is my number four
song. That's a good
one,
man.
It rocks me. Every time it rocks me.
That's a good one, and I'm sure in a future episode, we'll probably do Tom Petty, but that's in kind of I Won't Back Down.
Yeah. Oh, yes, man. Exactly.
I got a taste of love in a simple way, and if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing. Yeah. I'm still standing.
Somewhere.
Just it makes me feel. I mean, my life has not—it's not been hard, but I often on this journey of mine have needed those moments
for someone to
tell me or sing to me. You know, just hang in there.
Sure.
You know, you're still standing after all these years. Just hang in there. You know, you're a survivor. You're gonna get through this.
Yeah, I mean, we all have our story, right?
I need
we all have our story.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Elton John is. is a rock star, you know what I mean? But, and I'm a restaurant manager and you're a minister, you know? Yeah. But we all have our story and we all need to be able to look up at the end of the day and go, I'm still here.
And that's what's great about music and, you know, art in general is that when it's able to speak to the person on that level, I mean, that's what makes music so, you know,
sure,
so great.
Well, that was from the 80s.
Yeah.
That tune's 1983.
Yeah.
A lot of people kind of hated on the Elton John of the 80s because, you know,
you're
going to
see a lot of
70s.
My songs. I liked it. I like it. I do too.
But
I love his 80s music.
The reason I bring that up is because mine is from, I believe, the same album, but it came out of the same year, 1984.
Okay.
And it's a tune from an album called Too Low for Zero.
Okay.
Which is an interesting title for the album because what he was going through in the 80s.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's a song called I Guess That's Why They Call It the Blues. I guess that's why they call it the blues.
Oh,
one of my faves, man. It's my only 80s tune
okay.
from Elton on my list.
Okay.
Don't wish it away. Don't look at it like it's forever. Between you and me, I could honestly say that things can only get better. Before you and me run to the place in our hearts where we hide. And I guess that's why they call it the blues. Time on my hands, could be time spent with you. Laughing like children, living like lovers.
All the other ones are from the 70s, from the decade of the 70s, which I feel like is when he was really
it's a different
prime
yes,
Elton.
Yes, yeah.
But I do love some of his 80s stuff, yeah. And there's some of my honorable mentions. But, you know, Call It the Blues, I mean, it's just, it's a love song, you
yeah.
know, and it's, he's talking about absence makes the heart grow fonder, basically.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's missing his lover, mm-hmm. and, you know, I guess this is why they call it the blues.
Yeah.
I just feel down when I'm not with you.
Mm-hmm. Written and, as a love note from, you said, what's his name, Bernie?
Bernie, yeah.
Written
Bernie
as Cobb. A love note from Bernie to his wife.
That's right, yeah. I'd read that as well. So, and of course, Elton's voice just does it amazing justice, but it's weird, too, because it's kind of a sad
yeah.
kind of eulogy that's going on in the song, mm-hmm. but it's such a peppy number.
It is.
And Elton has a knack for being able
yes.
to do that, where it's a really kind
yes.
of a melancholy
mm-hmm.
feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But when you, if in other words, if you're not focused on the lyrics, you just hear it, you're
yeah.
kind of like,
okay.
Yeah.
But then when you listen to
I
it,
guess
got,
that's why they call yeah. it, you know. And I mean, the iconic chorus, you know,
laughing like children, living like lovers, rolling like thunder under the covers.
Yeah,
that shows every dimension
sure.
of a mature romantic relationship.
Yeah, sure.
You have the innocence of children, you have the laughter and the joy, but then you have the sexuality and the intense passion. I mean, dude,
that's
that one line covers it.
I love that song, man. It's always one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most kind of upbeat kind of poppy numbers on my
yeah.
list, if not the most upbeat
yeah.
poppy number. But yeah, I just feel good every time. I never turn it off, man.
Never.
They play that one a lot
yeah.
on, you know, mixed radio mm-hmm. and 80s radio. And
yeah.
you hear that one a lot. We have it on playlists for weddings that we do.
Yeah, it's a great
and
song.
I just never turn it off, man. It's always a feel good number.
And that's another thing about, you know, the Elton Johns of the world. And of course, you mentioned Tom Petty, is that the music only gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you never get tired of it.
Right.
It just gets better over time because it, you know, yeah, it just
right.
gets in you.
I agree. That's my number four.
Yeah.
I guess that's why they call it the blues, brother.
Okay.
All right, what's your number three?
Okay, dude, we're moving into the top three here. And I have to tell you now that my top three are pretty interchangeable. Like, I could go one,
yeah,
two,
sure.
three in any of these orders
sure,
because
yeah.
I love
my top
these three
like
songs.
That.
But you're also going to notice that I really like melancholy music.
Okay.
I like getting into the darkness. And like you said, I like that juxtaposition between peppy. And you're going to see that in two of the songs for sure. Not quite this one. But I love the juxtaposition between dark and light.
Mm-hmm.
My number three song is a song called Sacrifice. Now, this is a classic.
Wow, I did not see that
this
coming.
This is a classic 80s ballad.
Sure.
I'm
yeah.
sure. I mean, I haven't looked up the dates, but I'm sure it's 80s. But it's about cheating. Yeah. It's about being careful to be faithful to the one you love. So it's the whole song is about the sacrifice we make when we fall in love with someone to stay committed to them. Mm-hmm. So it's a very dark song, but it's just wonderful. And I mean, I love sappy 80s ballads, man. And even 90s. Good. I like they're sappy good. Ballads, but this is the ultimate 80s ballad. And it's just, you know, ah.
Into the boundary of each married man, sweet deceit comes calling, and negativity lies. Cold, cold heart, heart done.
Jealousy burns. You know, some things looking better, baby. Just passing through.
That's not that one that I, yeah. I didn't see that one coming.
This thing, some things look better, baby, just passing through. That's a reminder to a married man saying some things look better from the outside. Yeah. But you don't want to get like the grass is greener kind of effect.
Right, right.
But the song is dark. It's a dark tune, bro.
Why you want to go out for burgers when you guys take it home, baby?
It's no sacrifice. It's just a simple word. It's two hearts living in two separate worlds.
That's awesome,
you know, I mean,
man.
It's a lyric. I mean, like you said, 80s ballad, but get into the lyrics.
I did not see
And you
that
see,
one.
Like, man, this is a good, like, tears. Every time I hear that song, tears.
I listen to Elton
tears,
all the time.
Tears, bro.
In the last couple days, I knew you were coming over. I've been listening to Elton. I haven't heard that one
sacrifice.
In a long time, man.
Sacrifice.
It's good tune,
it's
man.
It's my jam.
Good tune, bro.
I can put that on, like, when I'm falling asleep at night, I can put that on and cry myself to sleep every night.
Don't do that.
Every night.
That's not Elton.
In a good
don't
way.
Don't do that.
In a good,
oh,
way,
in a good way.
In a good
okay.
way, brother.
Okay.
That's my number three.
Get me nervous there. All right. What are we up to? My number
You're
three.
Number three, brother.
All right. My number three. All right. Here we go. So just consider one of his best albums, if not his best album. And I'm talking about largely by like critics and stuff.
Okay.
Came out in 1974. So we're right in the heart okay. of Elton's career right here. He's had a bunch of hits at this point. He has a bunch of hits after this point.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to release this one. And ended up being a number one. And
didn't want to release it as a single or didn't want to release it at all?
No, it was on the album. He didn't want to release
okay.
it as a single.
Okay.
He didn't think it would succeed. It ended
really?
Up being one of the biggest hits he's ever had. And it's a song that I just absolutely adore. And another one that every time I hear it, I sing along, mm-hmm. snap my fingers. It's upbeat. It's another kind of upbeat jam. Benny and the Jets.
Ah, Benny and the Jets.
Dun, 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 yeah. run. There you
that.
Go.
Piano.
I can only imagine seeing that in concert.
That
remember that
piano,
one? You remember
yeah.
that one in concert?
Yes.
This is a good one that I would imagine would play
the piano,
very well live.
And once again, you go back to the light, man. The piano is an extension of him. Like when he gets on that piano, it's like a cowboy riding a horse or whatever you want to call it, like
right.
painter painting. Or,
right, sure.
I mean, it's
yeah.
just he gets it.
Well, remind me.
Ooh.
Remind me when we're done.
Benny
I'll show
and the
you.
Jets.
Remind me when we're done. I'll show you the trailer to that movie.
Okay.
That's coming out. They released like a 1 minute like teaser.
Okay. And, oh, so it's already filmed.
They,
I didn't know it was in like.
Yeah, they shot it already. It comes out I think in May.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
But remind me to show you because the trailer starts with the piano from Benny and the Jets, and it's kind of showing different you know periods of his life.
Oh, man, she's a red.
Benny and the Jets, man, it's another one that I love. It was a huge
Benny
hit for him. So
it's a great tune, man.
It's just telling a story about a fictitious rock band
yeah.
and fame.
And a lot of his early music, especially with Bernie at his side writing, has that story quality to it. Like honorable mentions, I could go on and on and on and
sure,
on.
Yeah,
and on.
Here, yeah, sure.
But you have like the Tiny Dancers, the Levons, and those that just tell a story.
Sure, yeah.
And he's so good at that. Absolutely. Man, they're good at
great
that.
Storyteller, absolutely. Yeah. All right, and well, you know, Bernie's a storyteller writing a lot of these, yeah. But Elton's, I mean, telling that story for him. You know, so together
you believe it. Like, you believe it. It's like, you know, he's in your life.
Absolutely. We're up to your runner-up, man. What's your number two?
Okay, my number two could have definitely been my number one, sure. But I mean, they go back and forth. It's hard. Now, this is also a very dark song. I assume it's about what he's going through at the time, because Elton had some trouble with, you know, the rock and roll lifestyle.
Sure,
but, you know,
yeah.
He transcended that. He made it through. But it's an upbeat song, but it's dark as well. It's called Rocket Man.
Yeah, man.
And Rocket Man, oh, just that, the rhythm of it, and I think that when he goes into that, I think it's gonna be a long, long time. But very beginning, the storytelling, like his significant other, wife or whatever, is helping him pack to go out. You have a feeling like he's, you know, going out on tour, he's leaving. But, you know, by tomorrow morning, by the time I'm off, I'm gonna be high as a kite, both literally and whatever. So it talks about, I'm this other person, I'm living this lifestyle, and when I come home, I have to be a father and I have to be a husband. I have to be a quote normal person, but they just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm out there burning. What do you say? Burning out my fuse up here alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about the loneliness of being a star, and about burning the candle at both ends, giving your life away, and then trying to come home and live a normal life.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight, 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a time. Timeless flight. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home.
He's a rocket man. It's just the song, perfect from top to bottom. Melody's perfect. Lyrics are perfect. The rhythm is perfect. Everything about Rocket Man is perfect.
I'll go ahead and tell you this is my number two as well.
Oh, yay!
So we match up there, so I'll go ahead and kind of piggyback on what you've been saying.
Man.
What I kind of think of when I hear Rocket Man is I think that it is a song about addiction.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I've always...
Absolutely.
That's how I've kind of always taken it. Mm-hmm. And I just pulled up the lyrics to it here. But I mean, the chorus alone, you know, like what you said, is going to be a long time till touchdown brings me down again.
Oh, brings me down again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home.
I'm not the man they think I am at home. Burning out my fuse up here alone, which could be literal if you're talking about, you know, heroin or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, just the fuse of being lit when you're high on whatever he was high on.
Addicted to fame, addicted to success.
Sure, yeah.
You think about all the businessmen and women in America today, and I guess all over the world, who are addicted to success and money and out there burning the candle and, you know, coming home and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the whole kind of like outer space thing was big in the early 70s. You had Space Oddity by David Bowie.
Yeah.
We had landed on the moon maybe 7-8 years before that.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an unknown thing up there, and it was very mysterious, and it was exciting because America was exploring for the first time. So a lot of artists were diving into that as a form of artistry. But what was cool about this song is I feel like he used that as a a blanket kind of to cover what it was really about.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know, he named it Rocket Man, and he kind of gives the impression that he's an astronaut. You know, if you listen,
that's the metaphor,
it for face value.
Like the being up and coming down.
Right.
Pre-flight, I'm going up into the stratosphere, into this mystery thing.
Right.
Trying to get something.
I miss the Earth so much. I miss my wife. You know, that's
lonely out here in space.
That's what an astronaut would say. But that's also what someone, you know.
I'm such a timeless flight.
You know.
Oh, man, that's a good song.
So I've always looked at it as an addiction kind of melody.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who knows? I don't think Elton's ever said that or Bernie's ever said that.
Yeah, but it does have that feeling to it.
Yeah. But I love Rocket Man. I mean, another quick anecdote about this song that I love. Did you ever watch a show? You don't have Showtime, though, do you?
No.
David Duchovny was in this show called Californication.
Californication!
You ever watch it?
No.
So there's an episode.
I've heard a lot of things.
There's an episode in there, and that might be why I attach this to addiction. But his character on the show, he's a father that's divorced and has a close relationship with his teenage daughter in the show. And there's a scene where he's rock bottom. I mean, just like we've seen him struggle with it throughout the whole show.
Like addiction.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and he gets arrested, and he's like gotten into a fight. And his daughter hates him.
Oh, man,
you know he throws himself into a pool to try to drown himself. I mean, he's like rock.
He has quote touchdown.
Yeah, and this is the song that they chose to use for the ending of that. Was the end of one of the seasons.
Yeah,
You end on that note, going, "Wow, is this guy gonna be all right?" His name was Hank on the show,
but it has such a has such a sweet melody, and I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Like it's almost like a lullaby.
Yeah.
In a way, the way they sing it, you know.
Yeah. So I always think of that little scene in Californication, which is really a scene about a man struggling with addiction that has hit rock bottom. And they used this song for that, and that was probably, I don't know, 10 years ago maybe. Yeah. So ever since then, I don't know, I just kind of be like, okay, Elton was dealing with drugs. He's probably doing a lot of drugs back then.
Yeah.
And
sense. Have you seen the video? Oh, I have so many honorable mentions. The video had Justin Timberlake playing Elton John. What's the song? It's a later song, maybe early 90s, where this train don't stop there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This train. But it was about him in the video, Justin Timberlake dressed as Elton John. He's walking down this hallway looking into these different rooms, and each room, one room has basically, it's a very quick take, basically it's Elton John in the middle of an orgy. So it's covered with women and men.
Oh, wow, okay.
So basically talking about this train don't stop there anymore.
Interesting.
Like, I've come through that. I'm not that guy anymore.
Interesting.
Like, I've gone through this. So, I mean, I think he's often been very transparent about what he's going through.
Yeah. Well, we've matched up there on Rocket Man. That's our runner-up. And no surprise there. It's one of his biggest hits. And I love it, man. I love it. So that's also on some of our playlists.
Is it?
You notice that? For weddings.
That's a good stuff.
All right, so we'll jump right up to number one.
My number one. Now, I tried to be quiet. I tried not to get too excited, but you already said it. I guess that's why they call it the blues.
Oh, really?
That is my number one Elton John song.
Give it to me. Why?
I love that song because it's about love. I mean, it's a love song. It's a love song. It's upbeat, so, I mean, it has a great tune to it. It has a great rhythm to it. The lyrics are just wonderful. But, I mean, it's also about the sacrifices you make. Because it's hard to say what I am. I mean, I'm an independent progressive minister.
I can tell you what you are.
I don't make a lot of money. My wife has been hanging in there with me since we met when I was 20, 22 years old. And I keep telling her, you know, we're going to get there together. And she's with me. So this, letting her know that we call it the blues because I have to do all this stuff. But I'm telling you, we're going to get there. It's going to get better.
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, so much. It just speaks to me on so many different levels. I mean, I guess that's why they call it the blues. You know, I mean, time on my hands could be time spent with you. I mean, that when you miss someone, that time hurts.
There you go.
When you miss somebody. So, it's one of the best love songs ever. I mean, I love that song. I love the lyrics. I love the rhythm. And it's just a great song.
No, it is. And obviously, I agree with it. But, there's one line in the song, too. What is it? Where I just looked it up, but he talks about the love of his life, right?
Yeah.
Oh, but more than ever, I simply love you more than life itself. And that's kind of what you're talking about, the connection you have with Becky there.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines from that song that I didn't mention when I talked about it, while I'm away, dust out the demons inside.
Oh!
And it won't be long before you and me run to the place in our hearts where we hide.
Oh.
It's good stuff, right?
Yes.
It's good stuff. But again, that's a very kind of like, whoa, that's
dark.
Deep. But it's over such a peppy beat.
And that thing, have you ever heard something, I'm working my way back to you, babe?
Yeah, sure.
My mother told me one time that she got this email from my father where he was at work. And all it said was, working my way back to you, babe.
Nice.
Love, you know, whatever.
Well done.
Or whatever.
Well done.
And it's that idea that every time Becky and I are apart, Becky's my wife's name, if y'all didn't know. Every time we're apart, the idea is that I'm working my way back to her, trying to get back to that place. Like on the couch, wherever our place is, that, you know, the blues are tied in to love. Mm-hmm. Like love and mourning are tied in the same thing. When you mourn something, it means you loved it, now it's gone. But it's tied into that. Blues are, it's part of being in love because you have to be away from that person. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this song captures love by talking about a time when you're apart or a time when you're working hard on something, and just to let her know that I'm working my way back to you. They call it the blues, you know, because cool, we're going to get back there. So, I mean, I love it. I love it. That's
good.
A great
so
song.
80s Elton.
That's my number one. I lean toward, because I had a lot of honorables like Tiny Dancer and LaVon and whatnot. And, but I just lean toward these 80s songs, man. They just,
that's cool, man.
You know, I guess except for Rocket Man, they're all 80s.
Obviously, I love that tune. So good pick, man. Yeah. So that's Andy's number one.
That's my number one.
I guess that's why they call it the blues. So
it
my blues. Number one, we've mentioned a few times already, but it is Tiny Dancer.
Tiny Dancer.
My number one.
Woo, that is a great song.
Not only is it my number one Elton song, it's in probably my top three or five period songs of all time.
Yeah.
This is a song that I share with my daughter, kind of unintentionally. But when she was little, she was doing like ballerina classes and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, I gotta play this tune for you. And she loved it, which was funny to me because it was a song from the 70s and she was into, you know, like One Direction or whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
She was your tiny
Bieber,
dancer.
Whatever the equivalent was back then. Yeah. But, you know, Tiny Dancer in My Hand, right? You know, and that's your kid, you know? And that was the way I kind of saw that song, and I don't think that's probably what Elton meant. Because he didn't have any kids back then. But that's the way it took on that meaning for me. And then when she turned 7 years old, my wife and I, my current wife, and I did this, you know, they make like little Apple movies, like little iMovies. Yeah. So we did an iMovie for her birthday. And it was a bunch, and it's actually on my Facebook if you want to see it.
I do.
But it was a bunch of clips of her growing up. So it started from in the hospital when she was born up until she had turned 7 that year. So it was a bunch of clips over the course of her 7 years of life, just still pictures or whatever, but it was, you know, it's like a slideshow kind of deal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it was to Tiny Dancer. It was the song that I chose for it. So, I just love that song, and it's, I think of my daughter every single time. There's no way. As soon as I hear that open piano, I think of her, if I'm not already. But another cool thing is that she had to do this project in school, I don't know, a long time ago. It was like middle school or something like that. And she had to put what the best gift she ever received was, and she chose that movie.
Oh,
you know, didn't cost anything. Didn't, and that was the favorite gift that she ever received.
Dude,
I don't know if she can still say that. She's got iPhones and everything else. But, it was probably when she was like 10 years old.
And the lyrics, I mean, you could take any lyric from that, pull it out of the song and say it. And I mean, all the lyrics are just perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the best written songs ever.
The word she knows, June she hums. But oh, how it feels so real.
Dancer, man. Oh, it's, man, up there for me, brother, and that is my number one Elton John song. Can you do your wrap up, or do you need me to give you your list here?
Oh, my wrap up.
Yeah,
okay.
Give you a recap.
Let me see if I remember. Yeah, okay. Number five was Your Song. Number four, Still Standing. Number three, Sacrifice. Number two, Rocket Man. And the number one Elton John song, according to Andy, I guess that's why they call it the blues.
There it is, brother. My number five, or my top five, was Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters. I guess that's why they call it the blues.
Yes.
Benny and the Jets, Rocket Man, and Tiny Dancer was number
good
one.
Stuff.
So we only have one crossover, so we got a good playlist of 9 tunes
two.
There.
Rocket Man. Well, I guess.
Oh, guess why they call the blues. Yeah. So two crossovers. Yeah. So 8 tunes. Mm-hmm. Right? I can't do math. Yeah. I feel like that's 8. Elton John tunes. If you're not an Elton fan, that you can easily get started on his catalog there. Dude. But he's timeless, bro. He's timeless. I'm looking forward to that movie, too. So you want to give a couple honorable mentions?
Absolutely. Now, Levon. Levon was another one. Now, Tiny Dancer is probably my top honorable mention.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why I didn't put it on the list, honestly. Maybe because I knew you would.
Yeah,
I knew it's like arguably
I knew your song would be on yours, so I didn't do your song.
Exactly. So that one, Levon. I love Levon. I mean, it's just got some great lyrics to it. I like that one as well. I want to give a shout out to the Lion King soundtrack.
Yeah, sure.
Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
I got some love online.
Circle of Life. I mean, that was one of the first big Disney movies that was taken on by an artist like Elton John. And man, I mean, that's a great soundtrack. So that's a great one as well. I don't want to go on with you like that.
Yeah, I don't want to go on with you
like
that.
Don't want to be your feather. I like that song as well. That's another good 80s. It's an 80s song.
That's a good tune.
So those are a couple honorable mentions on my side.
All right, so.
I could probably just keep going and going.
I have a bunch as well, but let me just give you a few because I want to shout out some fans.
Candle in the Wind. Sorry, Candle in the Wind.
Candle in the Wind.
Good song as well.
The original, yeah.
Yes, and he redid it again when Princess Diana died.
But you prefer the original for Marilyn Monroe, right? Hello, Norma Jean.
Like, I mean, think about it. You talk about the melancholy. You talk about the darkness. You lived your life like a candle in the wind. Just think about that image. A candle in the wind.
Yeah, it's great, man.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
All right, so I have a couple. I don't want to go crazy because I'm going to shout out some folks online in a second. But a couple that didn't get mentioned yet. Well, actually, you said that, but Sad Songs Say So Much.
Oh, and that goes to kind of our discussion today. Tune. Sad songs reach you. You know, but you're in your bedroom, you're crying, the sad song reaches you. You know what I'm saying?
We talk about sad songs say so much. And then the other honorable mention that I had on here that I hadn't got mentioned yet, which was a duet with Kiki D, Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Oh, that, yeah.
From 1976, another 70s tune after the height of Elton's fame. But I like that song. It's a great duet. They originally had, I read that they originally wanted Dusty Springfield to sing that with him. And she was ill at the time. Her voice was messed up, so they got Kiki D to do it. But it's a good tune.
That's what I was thinking of when I was talking about the duet. Yeah. And I started singing, I Don't Want to Go On With You Like That. I was actually thinking of that song.
Oh, okay. Because I don't want to go with you like that. That's a good song, too.
Yeah, but that's the song I was thinking of. I like that one, yeah.
All right, so I'll tell you that's what. You want to open the suggestion box? We got some great feedback. It's still so damn. We didn't put any WD-40 on that thing yet.
Squeaky box.
All right, so over on Twitter, we'll start there because we only got a couple comments. So Gidget Von Leroux, a great friend of the show from Australia.
Cool.
Here's her 5. I'm Still Standing.
Yeah.
There you go. Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word.
Oh, yeah.
Good too. Song. Don't Let the Sun Go Down on
Me. Don't let it. That's a great one.
Sad Songs. Say so much.
They do.
And Nikita.
Nikita. Yeah.
Which is a rare gem, but I do like that one. So that's Gidget's 5. Matt Lewinsky over on Twitter, who is a new listener. Happy to have him on board. He's been giving a lot of great feedback the last couple
of
weeks.
Welcome.
Matt says, although here's what he said. He said, I'm not that big of an Elton fan, but Crocodile Rock is awesome.
That's a great song.
Yeah, he's on to something there. Crocodile Rock.
That's kind of like one of those Benny and the Jet songs. It's just like a fun.
It's just good, man. Yeah. It's a good tune. That's a good like dance song.
Yeah.
There's a few Elton John songs that you can like dance to. That's one of them.
Can you do the Crocodile Rock?
No.
Because the song talks about all the kids doing the Crocodile Rock.
Yeah, no, I can't do the Crocodile Rock. I can't do any kind of rock except rocking in my rocking chair.
There you go.
All right,
you should write a song called.
I'll tell you what, guys, hit us up on our Facebook fan page. That's where we interact with our fans the most. And we got a lot of good feedback this week. Let's see. I'll read a few of them. Tony Dabish from Take Two. He has his own great podcast called Take Two. He said Tiny Dancer and Rocket Man jumped to mind. My top 5 would be rounded out by I'm Still Standing. Mm-hmm. I guess that's why they call it the blues.
Yeah, they do.
And Saturday Night's All Right. Saturday night's all right for fighting.
Let a little action in.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good list, man. Jennifer Bowman, new member to the Facebook fan page, said your song.
Yeah.
I'm Still Standing.
I am.
Candle in the Wind.
Oh, Candle.
Call It the Blues.
I guess.
And
I guess.
Benny and the Jets.
Benny and the Jets.
That is a great top 5. Oh, and then here's your comment. So Amanda said in response to that, she says, every time I hear that song, your song, it makes me cry every time. And then Jennifer said you should listen to Ewan McGregor's version of Moulin Rouge.
My gift is my song.
There you go. So you got a little Ewan McGregor love too, though.
Ewan McGregor, that guy can sing. Get the Moulin Rouge soundtrack, dude. He kills it.
And then the last one I'll mention is Amanda, who we love her. You've actually been on the show with her before. We did TV Moms.
We do love Amanda.
But she came on recently and did Under Her Christmas Songs with me, which was a lot of fun. She brought a lot of great stuff to the table. Here's her 5 Elton songs.
All right.
In order from 1 to 5. Your song.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Rocket Man.
Rock My Man.
Benny and the Jets.
Love it.
Circle of Life.
Circle of Life. Yep. Circle. Lion King.
And then Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Don't Go Breaking.
Circle of Life over Can You Feel the Love Tonight? What do you think?
Ooh.
Can You Feel the Love Tonight? I don't know, man.
I take that album in its complicity and its completeness.
What?
I don't know. I want to say complacent at the same time.
You literally just created
it. It's hard. That's all Lion King. It's all equal. Right, I can't put one in front of the other.
Sure, yeah.
That's Lion King.
So, Andy, that's it, man. That's our top five Elton John songs.
Dude, Elton.
Thanks for letting me do this, man.
Elton, man.
I love Elton. And I'm a super fan for sure.
Yes.
I love his whole catalog.
It's amazing.
And I've been listening to him this whole week and ready, and it's just been great. I love him. He's just awesome. He can do the peppy numbers.
Yeah.
He can be really sad.
Like we said so many times, like, his songs are simple yet complex in their emotional delivery. Like, there's so much to every Elton song. You take the tune away, just look at the lyrics. You take all the instruments away and just listen to his piano.
Sure.
I mean, he's amazing.
Well, I tell you what, man, so we have a little bit of time here at the end. So we are getting together a minimum once a month. You and I, the original P's, the OG P's.
OG P!
And then,
I'm an OG P. I've never been an OG anything.
And then your boy, Gerald, here, is working hard to get episodes out once a week. So we're doing what we're referring to as bonus episodes. It's really the same shit, just with a different person in front of me.
With a new P. Not an OG P.
But
an NP.
You and I are going to get together at least in January. What are we going to do in January? We decided before
we're
we started
talk
for a while
about,
now. How are you going to phrase it? Be careful.
Okay.
Because there's two different things,
we're going to try
really.
To list our favorite superhero movies.
That's what we're going to do. So we're going to do our top five superhero films. Now, we didn't want to
say... I say movie and you say film. That's interesting because you're like a buff. You're like a guy. Say film. I don't know. I listened to records. That was a great record.
I had my pinky out while I was sipping my cognac when I said that.
This is a wonderful film.
So we didn't say comic book movies.
No, we didn't.
We didn't because we feel like that pigeonholes it a little bit.
Yeah, we want to go a little bit. We want to go to
superheroes. A little broader.
My top five may all be comic book movies because, you know, but they may be. But I'm just saying.
You're dropping some knowledge.
I'm just saying that superhero gives us a little more room.
Now, speaking of superheroes, one of our superheroes in life is Michael Hill, and he's a fan.
Hey, Michael!
He's a fan of the show.
Michael.
Love that guy. Listens every week. He came up with this topic. So he said, you know, Stan Lee just passed away.
He did.
Obviously, Stan Lee is responsible for a ton of what may show up on that list.
Oh, my goodness.
Not everything. I'm a big fan of one particular character in the DC universe. But Marvel is obviously a big part of, especially what they've been doing lately.
Oh, my.
In the last, like, 10 years.
That's going to be a hard one for me picking.
Yeah, it's
going
to be tough, man, to narrow that down to five. But that's what we're going to do in January. It's going to be our top five. We're going to call it superhero movies.
You don't want to say film?
A little asterisk, maybe or maybe not comic related.
Okay.
And then February, I don't know. I think we're
just, love,
we're
baby.
Doing some romantic,
love.
Baby.
Yes, man.
Romantic comedies,
say,
I think.
Instead of drinking coffee at your coffee table, we drink wine and, like, I don't drink it all, though. I can drink grape juice and light candles
sparkling
and
grape
hold
juice.
Hands.
Let's do that. Okay. And not even give a top five. Just look
hands.
At each other and play Marvin Gaye while we do that.
And talk
I think
slowly,
we're still thinking about it, but I think we're thinking romantic comedies for February.
Rom-coms.
So we'll do that. You got to do your final thoughts.
I do.
We do that all the time. So that was our top five Elton John songs. Yeah. Andy and I will be back for superhero movies next time we get together. And then there's a couple bonuses on the horizon. We're doing, me and my friend Wesley are going to do our top five movies of 2018.
Dude.
I've seen about 35 or so. I've been going ape shit since the Alamo opened. So I've been seeing a lot of movies, and I've also been doing some on demand as well. And he's going to join me for that. And then we're also doing our winter movies.
Ooh, not see, that's weird. It's not holiday
Christmas.
Movies.
I didn't want to do Christmas movies.
Movies.
So
I don't. I don't. I don't. I can't think of any winter
movies that take place at winter time.
There's so many movies that take place at winter time. So
maybe snow on the ground. Ooh, maybe. I don't want to give anything away.
Oh,
I started
goodness,
working on my list actually yesterday, so
yeah.
I got a couple that I know we're going to be on.
Isn't that movie about people getting trapped in the snow and eating one another?
There is.
That'd be a good one.
You're talking about Alive. Ooh. Movie Alive with the plane crash. Ironically, I chose my friend Justin Winters to be on that episode because his name's Winters.
Jonathan Winters is hilarious.
Jonathan Winters I could have on too, but he didn't get back to me. All right. Andy, that's our top five Elton John songs. What is your final thought, bro?
Check it out, bro. One of the reasons that Elton John's music speaks to us so much, and one of the reasons that so many artists speak to us, is because they are able to convey the complexity of human emotion. I want you to understand that the way you feel and the way you relate to life is not a simple thing. It's complex. It has so many different levels to it. There's sadness, there's happiness, there's pain, there's pleasure. I want you to open yourself up and embrace the entirety of life. Let your life be complex. Let your life have different levels to it, and embrace it all, and, you know, love it.
Love it, man. Love it. Hey, we're not doing romantic comedies yet. That's February.
Hey, I love every day, buddy.
I was going to say, you're loving in December.
I don't love in December. I only love in February.
Bah humbug. I don't love anything in December. All right, Andy. We'll get together soon, man. Stay in touch. Be who you are.
Hey, Merry Christmas if I don't see you.
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Do the whole thing, man.
Hanukkah right now.
We're in the midst of Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
I think
day four or five.
My son was like, why aren't we celebrating that? I get 8 gifts in a row. What are we doing? I'm like, well, we're not Jewish.
If you want to, I can tell you the story of the Maccabees.
That's okay. We're good.
Why the Hanukkah?
We'll be hit stop first.
Why Hanukkah is separated.
We're good. We're all set. All right, so for Andy, this is Gerald signing off.
Two piece.
We'll see you next. We'll see you guys next time.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.